The date was sometime in the 1990s, and the place was a Bob Hope stand-up comedy routine. I don't know about you guys, but I learned a little bit about Bob Hope this week. I learned that he died at the age of 100, and his wife died at the age of 102, which I thought is pretty amazing. So, Sadie, you got a couple more years before you got them beat. But Bob Hope commented that he was reading and was astonished to discover, and I quote, "Today my heart beat over 103,000 times, my blood traveled 168 million miles, I breathed 23,400 times, I inhaled 438 cubic feet of air, I ate 3 pounds of food, I drank 2.9 pounds of liquid, I perspired 1.43 pints, I gave off 85.3 degrees of heat, I generated 450 tons of energy, and I spoke 4,800 words. I moved 750 major muscles, and I exercised 7 million brain cells. It's no wonder I'm tired all the time." Now, people often travel the world to see the amazing wonders of the world. And they don't even stop to think and wonder at their own bodies. Most of us don't realize how intricate and how wondrous our bodies really are. Did you know that in 1 square inch of your skin, you will find 20 blood vessels, as many as 65 hair, 9.5 million cells, 95 to 100 oil glands, 19 yards of blood vessels, 650 sweat glands, 78 yards of nerves, 78 sensory apparatuses for heat, 19,500 sensory cells at the ends of nerve fibers, 1,300 nerve endings to record pain, 160 to 165 pressure apparatuses for the perception of tactile stimuli, 13 sensory apparatuses for cold, and that's just to name a few, in 1 square inch of your skin. And then there's your brain, which weighs about 3 pounds. It stores 100 trillion bits of information over the course of 70 years. That storage capacity, it has a storage capacity roughly 2,500 terabytes, which is the equivalent of 2.5 petabytes, which, for those of you who are more like me, that's roughly 3 million hours of high-def television recorded. Your brain does all of this and uses less power than a 100-watt light bulb. Your brain is serviced by about 45 miles of nerves that send impulses through your body as rapidly as 325 miles per hour. This means that it takes about 1/15,000th of a second, to register when you stub your toe to get to your brain. Then there's your ears. A piano has 88 keys, and we heard a lot of them being played this morning. But each ear has about 1,500 keys that it can hear. Your eyes are capable of seeing a candle flame about 30 miles off on a clear, dark night. And it can distinguish about 10 million different color variations. Our bodies are incredible wonders of creation. And David wrote, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Now, I am quite sure that David knew absolutely none of the details I just gave you. None of those details or those facts about our body when he penned the Psalms. Maybe he was out watching his sheep and he happened to glance down at his hands and he started looking at them about how amazing our hands are. Maybe he was binding a wound. I'm not sure. But what I do know is that there was something about his body that caused him not only to remark on how fearfully and wondrously made it was, but also to say, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." David was so impressed with the wonder of God's gift of life that he spoke of it as being woven together. And here he was using the imagery of a craftsman who skillfully weaves a beautiful tapestry. What David was basically saying is, "I didn't just happen. I am not an accident. I have value. I have worth." And now David arrives at this conclusion because he first focused on God. See, the first truth of Psalm 139, which is where we're going to spend most of our, or all of our time this morning, is that God knows us, but he knows us completely. No one knows us more thoroughly than God. And he is the God of the universe. Let me read to you the first six verses of Psalm 139. "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you hem me in. Behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." Man. David is saying, "God, you know everything about me. You know me completely. You made a detailed inquiry into my life. You know all of my actions, all of my words, all of my thoughts. You not only know what I've done, but you know why I did it. You know it all. You know every little aspect about me." And I think it's that most of us understand this truth about God. It's not something new that we've heard. We really do know it, but many of us are able to operate on two levels. We understand intellectually that God knows everything about us. On a day-to-day level, we live as if we can keep our secrets from God, though. Maybe it's because we're afraid that if God knew everything about us, he would reject us and judge us. And it's hard for us to comprehend a God who can know the truth about us and accept us anyways. Psalm 139 verse 1 states that God knows us because he searches us. And the Hebrew word here means to examine carefully, to explore. Not in a way that is unknown, but in a way that he already knows and examines. It's kind of that phrase, "I know it like the back of my hand." How many of you know the... Don't look. Oh, too late. How many of you really know the back of your hand? You know that 4 out of 10 people can't even identify their own hand in a photograph? Anyways, that's another. God knows us intricately. He can even... This term, to search, it can be used of a burglar who scours and searches a house for something of value. And the word carries with it the idea of digging and scouring. And David is saying that God knows him penetratingly because he has scoured and ransacked every detail of his life. And because he examined us, he knows us. But the question is, what does God know about us? Well, he knows what we do. Verse 2 says, "You know when I sit and when I rise." Well, God knows when we sit down and when we stand up. He knows when we plop on the Lazy Boy and when we have to get up to get more chips and salsa. The two opposites of sitting and rising represent all of our actions throughout the whole day. He knows what we do. He knows what we think. It goes on to say, you perceive my thoughts from afar. And it's amazing and difficult to comprehend, but God knows what we think even before we think it. Think about that. He already did. Now, I can remember when Jess and I, we were dating, and I often wanted to know what she was thinking. So I would say, Jess, what are you thinking? She would occasionally tell me. Usually it was why. But I asked her to reveal her thoughts to me. Well, God knows everything that you're thinking, and He still loves you. He knows what we do. He knows what we think. He knows where we go. Verse 3 says, you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And the word for discern in verse 3 means to sift, or winnow is with like grain. God knows where we go because He sees everything. He can discern everything. He sifts through our lives, understanding what is really going on. And He immediately comprehends the good and the bad things we do. From the time we wake up in the morning to when we crawl into bed at night. Whether we're lying there awake or immediately asleep when we hit the pillow. He sees it all. And when we think we are being sneaky, He is with us no matter what. He also knows what we say. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. If you're like me at all, you often don't necessarily plan out what's coming out of your mouth. It just comes out. With the exception of the sermon, that's the way I am. God not only hears everything we say, He knows what we're going to say it before we can even form the word in our mouth. Our thoughts are like words to God. He hears them and He understands them completely as if we had shouted them from a rooftop. He can read minds. He reads our thoughts. He knows them. And thankfully, He knows what we need. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Now some of us look at this and go, what? But He's using the imagery from war. He knew all about the strategic battle plans, ambushes, and how to surround a city. And David felt trapped by God's knowledge of his every thought, word, and deed. He knew that God surrounded him. He cannot turn back and try and escape because God is behind him. He cannot run forward because God is in front of him. And He keeps His hand on David and keeps him from harm. And God does that for us as well. His presence and His complete knowledge of us serve as a protective force in our lives. Have you ever sat there and wondered what would happen if God wasn't doing this? Shudder to think about all the things, the wise things that I would do. I know I'm prone to stupidity. It's just my nature. And I know that I would do a lot of things that would cause me harm. But God is there behind me and before me. And He's got His hand upon me. In verse 6, David ponders the fact that God knows him completely, and he's blown away when he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I don't know about you guys, but David can't even begin to understand, much less describe, the depth of God's personal knowledge of his every action, his every thought, his every trip, his every word, his every need. God knows so much about us that He knows us better than we know ourselves. And to have such knowledge is just incredible. And the word wonderful is placed at the beginning of this sentence in the Hebrew for emphasis. It should read, "Wonderful is God's knowledge. It's too lofty for me to even understand or imagine." When we try to understand the greatness of God's knowledge, we can't help but be overwhelmed like David was. But remember this, wonder and worship are always a proper response to the glorious attributes of God. When you begin to dwell and think about who God is, to be amazed and wondered is the best response. To worship Him because of who He is. Amazement should lead to awe, which should draw us towards adoration. But not only does God know us completely, He also thinks about us constantly. He knows everything about us and He still likes us. We are known, and our noble, holy, creative, ever-present God accepts us. He sees our entire life from beginning. Even before we start growing in the womb, He knows all about every sin, every moral compromise, and yet His heart is fixed on us, and He thinks about us all the time. Anybody amazed by that? Wow. Verse 17 of Psalm 139 says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! When I count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Folks, God's thoughts are so precious. And once again, David is overwhelmed as he contemplates the greatness of God. He doesn't understand how God could think of him all the time. The word precious refers to expensive jewels. And David treasures the realization that Almighty God is thinking about him every second of every day. He is so involved with our lives that we can't even begin to fathom how many times He thinks about us. In fact, God's thoughts are so numerous. They're innumerable. They're impossible to count. They're impossible to understand. Now, I've asked two guys to come and help me with the sermon this morning. So, Silas and Jasper, come on up here. They have no idea what they're going to do. But I've got a bucket here. I'm going to hand them the bucket. You get this. It's a spoon. You get this, which is a small cup. Now, actually, we'll do it this way. You hold that. He's going to take the spoon, and he's going to take some of the sand in this bucket, and the two of you are going to sit down in those two chairs, and you're going to count how many grains of sand are in there.
Okay.
All right, you can use that to... Okay. All right. Now, one of the nicest things that... No, right at the front here, guys. Right at the front. I want everybody to watch you count. Make sure you're not cheating. Now, one of the nicest things Jess can say to me is that she thought of me all day. That means a lot to me, because I know that her mind was thinking of me at least at some point. She says she thought about me all day, but I know that she's working with a student. She's our family taxi driver, the social coordinator, the counselor, the full-time domestic engineer. As much as she would like to think about me all day, it's impossible for anyone to do that all the time. If you were able to calculate how many times God's thoughts are filled with each of us, our calculators and computers would freeze up. How are you guys doing with that spoon? Yeah? What are we at yet? How many we got so far?
We're at six.
You're at six. It's okay. You guys don't really have to continue counting. God's thoughts of you are not just the spoonful. It's not just the smaller container. It's not even that bucket, if it was completely full. It's not even a dump truck. It's the entire world covered in sand, times a million. God's thoughts for us are so incredible. They're constant. He's thinking about us all the time. When I awake, I am still with you. God doesn't forget about us when we're sleeping. Psalm 121 says, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep or slumber." God knows us completely and thinks of us constantly because he never sleeps. And that leads us to this final point this morning, that God searches us conclusively. Look at the last two verses of Psalm 139. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, what David mentioned in verse 1, as a matter of fact, "Search me, O God," he now makes as a matter of prayer in these verses. God wants us to invite him in to search our lives. And this is used for digging up valuable minerals in a mine. The term is used of examining precious metals to prove their purity. And while it's certainly a good idea to do our self-evaluations, let's be honest, it's better to ask God to examine you because, well, when we do it, we're always ending up okay. Things are going well. You got an answer? Approximately in the spoon or the bucket? Okay, 240 million in the bucket. Sounds good to me. Seriously? What was I talking about? Just examining ourselves. We always end up saying we're okay. Or at least that we're better than our neighbor or a coworker or somebody else. But in asking God to evaluate ourselves, we are really asking these four things from verse 23 and 24. "Search me, all of me, even my darkest secrets and deeds. Test me to see if I'm pure and true. Tell me, let me know what you find. And help me. Show me how to correct my ways. Lead me in the right direction." And once we understand that God loves us, we actually begin to desire him digging around in the depths of our being. We want him to road test our character. Not only does God know us, he knows us better than we know ourselves, and he loves us too much to allow us to keep doing the things that we're doing that go against his will. So don't be afraid to ask God to point out the offensive stuff in your life. Allow him to show you the things that grieve him or bring pain to other people. When he exposes something, own it, confess it, yield to God who knows you intimately. And yet he loves you completely. Be willingly accountable. Because someone has once said, a good person desires to know the worst of himself. J.I. Packer writes this, "I am never out of God's mind. There is no moment when his eyes are off me or his attention distracted from me. No moment when his care falters. There is tremendous relief in knowing that his love for me is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me, so that no discovery can delusion him about me in the way I am so often delusioned about myself." Because he knows us completely, he thinks of us constantly, he searches us conclusively, we don't feel spied on. We don't feel watched over. We can feel secure. Having placed our confidence in Christ, that no skeleton is going to come tumbling out of some hidden closet or expose something out of our past that God doesn't know about. No character flaw can come to light that would make God turn away from us, because he already knows everything about us. And yes, if you haven't heard it yet today, he loves you. He loves you so much. Now, if you're sitting there in your seat going, but I am fill in the blank, or I fill in the blank. Don't forget that some of the greatest heroes of scriptures, they had a few flaws in themselves as well, until God finished his work in their lives. Did you know that Jacob was a liar? Miriam was a bigot and a gossip. Moses, he stuttered. King David had an affair. The prophet Amos, an unskilled laborer. Elijah suffered from depression. Naomi was a widow. Abraham was too old. David was too young. And Timothy had ulcers. Thomas was a doubter. Peter was afraid of death. And Lazarus, well, he was dead. And God used these people. So no matter what you think, you're too old, you're too young, you're too this, you're too that, you're too whatever, God's got it covered. Because I don't think any of us can beat Lazarus out, because he was dead. And God still used him. So if God can do great things in men and women like these people, what do you think he can do with you? Especially since when you become a Christian, you become God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That is his promise for us. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by the God of the universe. God has given you a great gift in the life that you live, and he intends to give you even greater gifts in that potential that your life can be and have. So I don't know about you, but knowing that God thinks of me, what did you say, 240 million times? He probably does that a second. That he loves us so much that we are his workmanship. That he knew us in the womb. That he wove us together perfectly the way he wanted us. It is an amazing thought. And for me, I want to praise God. Let's do that at this time. Would you stand with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, you are amazing. You are such an amazing God that has done so much for us. You know us so completely. You know our thoughts. You know our comings and our goings. You know even the words that are on our mouths before we say them, and we bless you for it. Words are so inadequate. But it's what you have given us, and so we say, blessed be your name. For you are the fount of every blessing. We pray that you would tune our hearts into you, that we would sing your praises, that there would be 10,000 upon 10,000 upon 10,000 reasons to sing your praises this day. For you are amazing God. Thank you. Amen.